bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to what some have called the best gaming podcast in the world. Thanks, Mum.
Today.
Yes, it's the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. We are back again. We are back earlier than usual, albeit I'm probably still going to launch it on Sunday before, so it's not really that.
At the same time.
Hi, the same time.
But technically we're
coming to you further in the past.
Yeah, we're recording this on Thursday night because I've rather selfishly decided to go away this weekend, so we're just recording it a little bit earlier.
Just to remind everyone what the past is like, we all work for Hapeny. And we work 27 hours in a 24-hour day. Down the mine.
Down so the pits.
This podcast, look what it's done to Sam. He's just, his time zones are messed up. It's like, this is the sort of time he should be lying on his couch butt naked, knuckle deep while watching Saved by the Bell.
It's actually pretty close. Pretty close.
So we have a review. Thank you very much to Coiled Spring. For his 4-star review.
Four.
I read his review, but at no point did I see any marks off that star.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's really wrong of me. I assume it's a he. It could be a she. I don't know. Anyway, Coiled Spring gives us 4 stars and says, nice podcast in a relaxed, disorganised style.
Nice.
Excellent banter. It must take the producers.
Get that note down.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
there's a pause every time there's a speaker for Paul to note it down.
You guys could pad. I mean, there's no rules against it. Excellent banter. It must take the podcasters hours of planning and get such a relaxed, disorganised podcast sound. Up-to-date news and reviews, friendly, fun chatter. Thank you very much, Coiled Spring. While we're talking about swears...
Just like to come back on that podcast. It must take the podcasters hours of planning.
Well, it takes...
Oh, little people know.
It takes me and Chiz hours of planning.
You liar.
It hasn't this week after.
I think that's probably sarcasm because it says disorganised hours of planning. It's maybe a bit of sarcasm.
I think we're reading too much into this. We also need to apologise. I unfortunately missed a swear word last week in the bleep, so I apologise wholeheartedly to anybody who was offended by that. It was Chiz.
We'll see if we can sneak some more in.
DDB. Right, okay. And also we had a very nice tweet from Tiger Bright on Twitter. Was wondering what you're listening to, you guys munch along. So they sent a link to how Jaffa Cakes are made. So thank you very much for that. Found that really interesting.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. So we'll put a link in the show notes. So thank you very much, Tiger Bright, for sending us that link. If anybody else wants to send us links to how biscuits are made, we'd really appreciate it.
Or
I
would love send it. Us biscuits.
Biscuits, yeah.
Or actually, tickets to factories.
Factory tours, yeah. That's a good idea. Broken biscuits.
Breweries as well.
So I think it's right to mention what you're eating as your biscuit this week, Sam.
Leave the cardboard alone.
Sam is on a Weight Watchers diet.
Yeah.
Or rather, more accurately, Sam's good lady is on a Weight Watchers diet, therefore Sam has to be on a Weight Watchers diet.
I'm actually too lazy to do anything about it. I have, however, also cut out all coffee and Coke.
Wow.
So no snort expect... lines for me anymore.
So he
that must
is...
have slowed your heart rate right down.
He's clinically dead.
It's like one beat a minute is technically dead, I would say. Yeah.
So Sam's biscuit of choice this evening is Go Ahead Raspberry Biscuits that are 50 calories per slice. He's already shared them round and they were
cardboard with fruit in it.
They were like gnawing on a mummy carcass.
Leave an aftertaste of asbestos.
Anyway, we managed to waste 4 minutes talking about...
Hang on, just very quickly. Oh, okay. It's a sad reflection on my current life that I actually really quite like these at the moment. That's how bad my food is.
What else is Amy force feeding you?
Elephant.
Oh. I don't know about
that's
that
a one. Required taste.
That is not a swear. Are
you sure?
Jism is not a swear.
It's his last name.
Yeah. I never get old of that.
Anyway, we have friends who really did genuinely think that Grant's last name was Jism.
Well, they weren't my friends.
All right, they were my friends.
Yeah, there we go.
And I don't have any friends.
So anyway, on the news. So the biggest thing that we don't need to cover hugely because we'll probably cover it at length the next episode.
Oh, it's 100 calories now.
is that Sony have teased a next generation reveal on February the 20th. So we will cover this at length the next show. But basically, it looks like we're going to get some new hardware announced in about a week and a half. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Apart from that, it's the same. Kind of news is nothing more than that. But now we have a date of like, which is kind of quite exciting. Now we actually know PS4 is going to be revealed. Mm. And the rumours kicking about were that it was going to be out next year. But now the rumours, since this announcement, they reckon it could be PS4 could be out before the end of the year.
I know.
Although another rumour I also read, out everywhere else apart from Europe by the end of the year, we might have to wait till next year.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks, because that's what Sony did with the PS3 as well.
That
which
is a real slap to the face. The thing I read specifically said North America and Japan.
Yeah.
Europe out next year.
Yeah.
Well, screw you, Sony.
Yeah, well, they're definitely not going to get a sale out of Sam.
But
they wouldn't anyway.
They did that with the PS3, and I remember at the time, I waited for ages to actually buy one, but I did feel like Sony were kind of shafted in Europe, where they didn't care quite as much about the European base, and the American market and the Japanese market got loads of stuff. Even it was a DualShock 3, a controller. We had to wait like half a year for that, which was just ridiculous.
You know what they risk doing? Angering Latvia. You don't want to anger Latvia. It's like a sleeping giant. Yeah. It's like a furious little terrier coming at you. It'll have the ankles of both Japan and America chewed into tatters.
They're live streaming it, which I thought was a new thing. I was looking Latvia. Back on this. No, not Latvia.
From Latvia. Bring you the PS4.
One camera for the whole country. Yeah. Sorry.
So, yes, you buy this now.
I've lost my swear.
What? Sticker. Latvia?
No. He's lost his swear pod. Ass bag. Bag. Coming at you like a bag of cocks.
I prefer coming out like
the reason I was looking at it was because you said something that was going to be a really good show title, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, dear.
Anyway,
right. So, yeah, they're going to stream it live. They've never, I don't think they've ever done that before in a console release.
They kind of did it with the Wii U when they had that like, sort of live stream, but then they had Iwata just talking to you like a car salesman.
Yeah.
Really boring car salesman.
We should
stop thinking about it because you'll just not come out with
it. I know.
Listen
I know.
Back at the start, later on.
It's easy to do.
Good point. Right, okay. Anyway, we'll move on.
Recorded, Paul.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so again, anything else to say about Sony, or will we just cover that in the next episode?
Bye, Sony.
We've covered what we think it's going to be in it, apart from we've done that already. And the announcement or that rumour was basically the date of when they're going to reveal it, and that's about all we know.
Yep. The next kind of, in my opinion, biggest piece of news was the Grand Theft Auto 5 is being delayed by, was it 6 months, 8 months?
Was it supposed to be April, and it's supposed to be out, I think? And then, well, they said vaguely April, and then being delayed to September, is that 6 months?
Yeah. I actually have a...
We don't really need to check.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's September the 19th, I think it is, it's getting delayed till. The reasons for it, they're stating, is just because it takes a little while to make a complex game. Which is essentially what they're saying.
Fair enough.
17th of September, not the 19th.
All the best games are basically have a motto of like, it's ready when it's ready anyway. Like the past year, I've played so many broken and buggy games like Assassin's Creed 3 and F1 2012, where these games needed a few more months of time to get all the bugs out. So I'm glad they're spending. I'd rather have a game that works rather than a game that breaks and crashes and graphical glitches and annoyances.
Yeah.
Which not stopped all the people going nuts about it and sort of throwing up some conspiracy theories and stuff.
So the Grand Theft Auto team sent out an open letter, a couple of quotes from it. We know that this sort of delay will come as a disappointment to many of you. Excuse me. But trust us, it will be worth the extra time. Grand Theft Auto 5 is a massively ambitious and complex game, and it simply needs a little more time to polish to be the standard. Excuse me, I've got the hiccups. To be the standard. Yeah, there's a cat at the window. I see
He's
that.
He's great. He keeps waving at me.
We, and more importantly, you require to all Grand Theft Auto fans, please accept our apologies for the delay and our promise that the entire team here is working very hard to make the game all it can be. So, Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed, I have to say. I'm not disappointed to the point that I'm going to start kind of returning my pre-order, albeit I haven't pre-ordered it yet.
I've read of a few people actually cancelling their pre-orders and stuff. Like, well, I'm not going to buy the game then. It's just, seriously, why?
Yeah, I love
it's like grown men spitting the dummy. It's just ridiculous.
I love these kind of, it's the end of the world kind of muppets.
Yeah. Well, actually, I have to give a little shout out to F1 Ed Marshall on Twitter, who actually sent us a link to one of the articles relating to the Grand Theft Auto 5 release. So thank you very much, Ed.
Cheers.
If anybody else wants to do our work for us and send us links and things like that for future things that they want to talk
record
about.
Record your voice, do it your own podcast. We'll chuck that on.
Yeah, well, if you just send me it, and I'll just put it out with our logo on it, and then it just saves us the bother altogether. So
if you can master a depressing Yorkshire accent, you're halfway there.
We're a third of the way there, technically.
Yeah, true.
I didn't think you had a Yorkshire accent, Jim.
Mr. Iwata from Nintendo says that cloud gaming is limited by the laws of physics. So basically what he's saying, when you kind of parse that a little bit, he's just saying that no matter what, there's a quote here that's going to exactly say what you're going to say. There's a quote, since the time to transmit data over an internet connection is never negligible, there is always some latency before you receive the result of your input. So basically what he's saying is buy our console and don't use consoles that have any kind of internet connectivity, such as, I would imagine he's talking about your kind of Game On thing and potential rumours, which we'll get on to next, the new Xbox requiring a permanent internet connection.
Yeah.
Well, no, that'll be more a DRM sort of thing.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Rather than actually playing the game, like, rather than actually streaming the game from someone's server.
Yeah.
Why does it need DRM?
Well, we'll get onto that in a second. We'll just finish. Come on, just.
Well, this one's boring.
Get with the program.
Get on to something.
Okay, fine. We're not interested.
Bye. <aren't we?
laughs> So Edge is reporting that the next gen Xbox games will require an online connection. As we said, well, as Chiz said there, he assumes that's for DRM, which is fair enough. Not fair enough that it requires it, but a fair enough assumption.
And so publishers and developers get a bigger slice of the user market. Like, the selling of used games basically will crush that market.
And no second-hand games.
No renting games.
It's just
I really hope that doesn't, like I say, it's just someone reporting, so I hope it doesn't turn out to be true or something. They can just kind of go, all right, let's switch that.
If Xbox does that, I might actually reconsider and go to Sony.
Sony's actually leading the charge, are they not?
There's been rumours about them as well. I can imagine if one does it, they'll both do it, or because if one doesn't do it, everyone will flock to that.
And if they do that, then they have to bring down to like PC levels price of games.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. They damn well better do. I was going to say a word.
Then again, think about another angle. And by I'm just going to try and play devil's advocate here for a second for this argument.
You bastard.
Look at all other markets that involve physical media. So books, DVDs, music, everything like that. When was the last time you loaned somebody a CD? You're kind of different, Sam, because you listen to all sorts of weird indie rubbish. But... and so they still produce theirs in CDs. But
Justin Bieber's not in. And books. Real live paper
but,
books.
With the exception of the Amazon. There's something nice. I don't like to read. But there's something nice about the spell of a new
book. We've
noticed
with the gaming notes. Yeah.
But isn't it just video games going that same way? Isn't it just going that, like, you get a book from the Amazon store, you don't loan it to somebody.
You
tell some. Yeah, and okay, Amazon was maybe a bad example. But you can't loan
you
any
can't here.
Game. Can you not in the UK yet?
No, well, not really.
All right, okay.
They're supposed to. It doesn't really work in the UK, and it is selective by publishers. So it's if the publisher says you can lend it or out to a mate for a month.
Right, yeah.
But it's yours, it has to come back. And I quite like the idea of that.
Okay, music. You can't loan music anymore. Steam games. You can't loan Steam games. You can gift them, which is fine. Isn't this just video games going the same direction?
Well,
I don't like it.
Physical hard copy, like, is though like is what they're trying to what that's what they're trying to control now, because with downloadable games, yeah, they've got full control of that. But it's the hard copy games that don't have full control. That basically, developers have been whining and bitching for a while that they don't get a slice of the pie when someone sells their game on.
Why should they?
Exactly. It's no longer your property.
Yeah.
You've been paid the money. It's now getting passed. Someone else has bought it. It's no longer your property.
Is it
going
to come round to when you sell your house, the original builder gets a chunk of your cash, or your car manufacturer gets a chunk of your cash when you resell your car? It's absolutely ridiculous, and they can go screw themselves.
Well,
it's something I feel pretty passionate about.
I don't agree with it at all. I think... No, it's
piracy.
I mean, we're kind of making a bit of a jump here. While I do agree that they have been pushing for this, there's nothing that's actually saying that's why they're wanting this. Mm. Because this article that on CVG, which I think actually originally came from Edge, is talking about the fact that it's for downloadable content. So it's for downloading games, which is ultimately where we have to be heading, because everything else is there. You know, every other piece of physical media you can get digitally except for Xbox and PlayStation and Wii games.
Yeah, but...
I would still prefer discs.
They're going to have to stick to discs because the size of games are just going to get bigger and bigger. With Blu-ray discs, the amount might come up to about 50 gig of data. Every time you buy a game online, you're going to have to download 50 gigs. It's just...
What if it incrementally downloaded? What I mean by that is... For example, you play in sections... Genuinely, it's going to sound like I'm having a go at myself here, but realistically, if I got like a 50 gig game, I only need to download the first 2 gig because I never get past the first.
Yeah, well, that's,
two.
Yeah.
But so why would you download the full? 50?
Yes and no, Paul. Because actually, you need to download the platform to be able to play it on in the first place. So that'd be.
But could they not bring it out
in a hefty chunk, and then you could?
No, I agree.
Do the rest like. DLC, so yes, that would work, but you'd still have your initial chunk.
I think there's a way that you could build
hefty,
that. There's a way that you could write it
well, and the broadband speeds that we've got is still going to be sucked.
The hardware in the borders is fairly hellish, but we're going to end up with Infinity sooner or later.
Right now,
Tweedbank's got it.
It's all moved to Tweedbank.
Right now, I'm sticking to actually buying proper hard copies of games because I much prefer it, and I've got the game there and then, rather than having to wait for it to download.
I still do it.
And then
it's cheaper.
Yeah, and it takes up space in your hard drive. And depending on the size of hard drive, how many games you've got, you'd have to start deleting and reinstalling games to re-downloading them to play them again.
I think as well, purely digital media, because one would imagine, so far, pretty much everything in Steam, unless it's on some kind of sale, is more expensive. Quite a chunk more.
See, I
expensive.
Find that really weird. I understand the whole book thing, how physical books are cheaper than digital
because
books.
You don't
I get
pay
that
because
you don't pay
it,
the VAT.
Yeah.
But I've never quite understood how Steam games are more expensive than the actual
because they can do it.
Physical equivalent.
Past year I've probably not paid any more than £24 for a brand new PC game. On Steam, that same game will be at its cheapest at launch, £30.
Yeah. The other thing about it is, I think in regards to things like Steam, and I'm not having a go at Steam because I love Steam, but I think there's a certain element of, like when you go down to the Tesco Metro, rather than go to the big shop, you pay a little bit more because it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with Steam, the idea is that it's more convenient. Although, frankly, in the borders, if you order the physical thing, it'll be here next day. Whereas your download will probably end up finishing the next day. So it doesn't work.
Downloading Dragonborn yesterday. Is it still downloading or all night?
It's done. It's
But you weren't able to play it yesterday, you were saying.
I could have if I wasn't such an old man.
And went to bed early.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
It's because you've got no caffeine in your system anymore.
Yeah. Actually, I feel more awake. It's really weird.
Yeah. I'm the same. I cut down on my caffeine and eat more fruit. And it's significantly different in my...
Anyway, gaming.
So this week in paleo diet.
Yeah. In loose women.
Right, the only other two articles...
Balls controls have been fantastic.
The only other two articles, Chiz, you've added in about Witcher 3 and The Last of Us. Do you want to talk about either of them or will we just push on?
Witcher 3 looks, I say it's been announced, they're showing it off, and I think it looks fantastic. I really enjoyed The Witcher 2, and that's about it. Go check out if you like The Witcher 2, but they're releasing more stuff. It looks more open expansive. You can sail boats, ride horses and all sorts in it. And
I really loved the idea of Witcher 1 and 2, and I think it's a beautiful game. Mm. I love the graphics from it. I've loved both the graphics. Just don't like the way it plays. There's just something about it that I just find a bit clunky and a bit crap And it just... Oh, and the childish obsession with boobies.
Yeah, it does have but I quite enjoyed it. It's got like a more... an adult theme, but there's
the
a lot of
good
adult...
really putting me off.
My cat is currently... like
just step boring holes in the side of my head. Anyway. Please let him in.
So Witcher and Last of Us?
The Last of Us, they've just kind of shown more off, actually shown more footage of you getting attacked by the actual zombie-like fungus people. Hmm. And there's like different versions of them, of depending on how actually fungified they are.
Fungified, yeah. I like that.
I'm coining that one. And
on that?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that. I'll have a look.
Yeah, we'll have a look. We'll put the link in the show notes. You can read it on there.
Well, I've got the show notes.
Apparently, and there's crafting abilities and all sorts and stuff in it. So
cool. Yeah, very interesting. So, moving on to the preview section. Sam.
Yep. Actually,
you did three last week and then you went, no, it's fine. I've got stuff.
Castlevania.
Oh, dear. Damn. Right, okay.
Right. I've always...
Are you previewing the Castlevania from, like, the Atari years ago?
Yes. No. This...
I didn't think you'd be Castlevania.
Is it Castlevania 3? I loved Castlevania on the SNES.
Rock hard.
And, yeah, it was awesomely hard. And I haven't played any of the newer ones. And I just saw it and thought, ooh, that'd be a nice little visit into my childhood now that I'm having a man-child crisis. I just think it looks really quite fun.
Cool. When does that come out?
It's not entirely announced. I believe it is supposed to be this year at some point, but it'll be the arse end of it.
It's Robert Cryle does the main voice in it as well.
Does he?
He did the last one and this one as well.
I didn't read that far into it. I saw it and got excited by it.
Lords of Shadows, is it?
Could be.
I can't remember if that was the last
I just saw it.
Because there was one that came out a couple of years ago.
Cheers, stop knowing everything about everything.
And Patrick Stewart did a voice in that one as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
What was he? A busty maiden?
I'm not entirely sure, I didn't play them.
I'd like to see Patrick Stewart play as a busty maiden.
That looks like that would be Patrick Stewart, I think, that one.
Yeah, it does, actually.
That's possibly the... by now, yeah. I think that one's the one that came out a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's really helpful. It's the first Google result. Google do better. We really should have researched this.
I'm sure it's Castlevania 3.
Or maybe it is Lord of Shadow.
I'm sure it said Castlevania.
Anyway. So we if you find a link, we'll put it in the show notes. Chiz, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking... keeping an eye on...
No, it is Lord of Shadows too.
God of War Ascension. Well, Paul searches Amazon for Castlevania.
What, do you need me to give you input here? What's going on?
That's Lord of Shadows. This is Lord of Shadows 2.
Ah.
There we go.
I'm probably going to have to play that one, though, now. Aren't I?
Chiz, do you want to carry on with your thing?
God of War Ascension.
What's that
on? You never played the God of War games or heard
No,
of them?
I played them on the Vita. I've never played them on anything other than that.
You've got a Vita?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have a Vita. I mean a PSP. Sorry.
Yeah. I've never actually bought any of them. I've always rented them because they're good, solid. Although I'm not a massive fan of hack and slash games, but they're good, solid, fun ones. The sort of games.
Yeah, this
but
is
for
the
me,
second in a row, the second show in a row where you went, yeah, I don't really like hack and slash games. But I've been playing a few of them, but they're really, really good.
No, yeah. Well, it takes a really good one to get my attention. If you know what I mean. But I'm not overly a fan of the genre.
I know what you mean.
But
they can be quite entertaining, but also...
one playthrough, and that's me done with that. That's why I never really buy them, I just rent them. And I played through God War 1, 2 and 3, enjoyed them all. But I say play through once, wouldn't go back to them, and I'll probably do the same with Ascension.
Plan.
And so looking forward to that, because it's just kind of good, solid action fun with sort of epic graphics and visuals and battles and stuff, which is... impressive game, usually. So
tell you what else I've been looking forward to.
Do you not want to keep this till next week?
Luigi Mansion 2.
Oh, you... yes. And so I'm looking forward to Luigi Mansion 2.
Not as much as I am.
It's on the 3DS.
It's weird, you really hate Mario, but you like Luigi.
It's because he's tall. I have a thing for tall men.
So why don't you like Keith?
Because Keith smells of scamp.
So I quite enjoyed the original Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube. And according to CVG, who have...
Sorry, Keith.
He doesn't listen.
According to CVG, who have played it, this is substantially better. It, very, very similar. Sequel sees Professor E. Gadd, the same guy from the original one, and it's just ghosts, and it's it just looks kind of cool. And I know it's not going to be the same, but I really enjoyed the Luigi's Mansion game on the Wii U, so it looks quite interesting.
Cheers, did you follow any of that, or did he just make noise?
The gameplay genre sounds like it's got ghosts and it's cool. So,
what was the bad guy called?
Professor E. Gadd.
Right.
I think it is, anyway. I think it says in this bit that I have it in front of me.
What's the next section of this show?
You know, it really looks quite good. Certainly considering that I quite enjoyed the previous one, even though a lot of people slated it. This one is very good.
Okay.
Anyway, so Chisholm, what have you been playing this week?
I have probably been putting ungodly hours into Football Manager 2013.
Mm. Pudding?
Pudding, yes.
Pudding managers.
I don't know how many hours I've racked up in the past. I looked at it was like 90 hours past 3 weeks or something like that.
Wow.
But I realise that's
impressive. 90 hours in 3 weeks.
Every time I turn up, I turn on my PC, I have Steam open automatic, because mostly I'm going into Steam to play something like Empire, Total War or whatever. Mm. But Steam opens up. Every time I open it up, it says, Chiz is playing... Football Manager 2013. Every single time.
And I realise it's because it's one of those games where you can kind of, rather than putting your full attention while using a controller, you can actually play it while doing other things. So I'll be surfing the web, doing it, watching something, and I'll just be going back to it and playing it every now and then as I'm doing other things. Basically signing coaches and players, sort of my training out, which becomes, if you're into football, becomes really addictive. Once you get the layout of how what everything does in the game, it does kind of suck in, you get really addicted to it. It's like, right, how can I win the league or get promoted and stuff like that? So that's what I've been playing, and I'll stop boring you now.
Cool.
I think I'm going to extend that boredom thing in a second, but Sam, what have you been playing?
Brief
this week?
Moment of excitement with Sam and nothing. We're doing the show 3 days early. I had planned initially to play the Dragonborn DLC for.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But came out yesterday. I downloaded it and I haven't been able to play it because, yeah. However, I did notice that I've played 140 hours of Skyrim.
Well done.
Which is only 162 hours less than I played Empire Total War. So, there we go.
There you go.
Lovely piece of
and
excitement.
And 139 hours more than I've played of Skyrim.
Yes.
did you also come to the conclusion when I noticed my time Football Manager and Skyrim that it's just like, if I put the same amount of effort into career, I'd be having more money right now?
No, I was content up until this point.
I have been introduced to the world of Minecraft in the last week and a half or something. And I'm really enjoying it.
I think I might have enjoyed it more if I had any damn clue what the hell I was doing.
It did take me a few seconds to work out what was going on. But
a few seconds? I played it for like 2 hours and I had no idea.
Well, I have to admit, I can't remember, I think it's called Minecraft Wiki, which probably makes sense. But I found that incredibly helpful just to kind of understand what was going on, because as soon as you get, you just kind of get dropped to the middle of a field and and then all of a sudden it's dark and this stuff just starts attacking you.
I've played the Xbox version where it actually shows you things before you, like it says, do you want to do a tutorial before going launched into the actual game? And so, yeah, I kind of learned everything, but then I realised afterwards the PC and Mac version just kind of like, right, off you go.
Yeah.
And you just have to fashion your own pants and leaves and
stuff. It's really weird. I think we talked about this in the second or third episode that we ever recorded.
Yeah.
And it's really weird, but I was listening to that earlier today while walking my dog.
Right.
And Chiz, if Chiz talks for a little bit longer, he's going to tell you about the house he built to protect himself from the spiders, and then the spiders climbed up the wall and killed him.
Well, because I couldn't suss how to build roofs.
Yeah, well, yep. See, that was when I first did it, because I eventually discovered that the best way to protect myself, or having heard your story, I decided that I really needed to make a shelter because it was still daytime. Yeah. So I basically dug a hole in the ground. And then dug a pit at the front of the hole, so if anything came towards me, it just fell down the pit.
Put the dirt over.
Well, I'm not here.
And then darkness came, and I couldn't see what I was doing because I hadn't worked out how to make light or anything like that. So
the game just go pitch black.
It goes pitch black, and I'm sitting staring at my monitor screen for like what I think it's 10 minutes. Nighttime lasts. And I just kind of sat there, and I thought, I'll just browse the web while I'm waiting in 10 minutes. No, it pauses when you change the focus away to a different screen.
All right.
So I just kind of had to sit there and just watch darkness happen.
That's pretty depressing.
Well,
that sounds like my Saturday nights these days.
But when I eventually kind of got in, I realized how you make light and how you make like crafting boxes to make pickaxes so you can dig, and then you can dig down deeper. And what I eventually ended up doing was I created this really intricate, because this is the other thing that really confused me. It was like talking about the fact that there's like achievements you have to get, and one of the achievements is cow tipper. So I had to find cows. But then it occurred to me, I can't walk too far away without leaving myself completely exposed when nighttime comes. Mm. So I had to find a way of having my house or my shelter and still being able to travel about. So I've started digging tunnels under the whole land. And then in more searching around Minecraft Wiki, I discovered you can get rails, and then that means you can go faster between. So basically, in my little underground tunnels, I can go faster with rails because they're all that kind of stuff.
Have you become like a social level sewer dweller really cool. in Minecraft community?
Yeah, I actually like this. This is actually pretty cool.
So what I then kind of found that I was running out of iron ore to make rails, and I read just on one of these wiki articles, it said that if you dig down deep enough, you can sometimes find old mine shafts. So I dug down and I have found this maze of mine shafts that have got spiders to kill. Sometimes you find little treasure boxes. There are tons and tons of old railways, supposedly from when people were down there mining in the past. So I'm able to get all those railways up. I'm having great fun, and I'm just walking around all these different mines underneath it. And I've in the last kind of week and a half, I think I've played that game more than I've played any other game, with the exception of maybe Grand Theft Auto 4.
That's
I am
really
completely
cool.
gripped by Minecraft at
That's
the moment.
That's really cool.
Yeah, really enjoying it.
You were supposed to be playing Halo 4 Monday night.
I know, and I just didn't, because Minecraft took me away.
You're dead to the world that day. Sent you a text. Nothing.
I was really busy at work on Monday, to be fair, but I came home, sat on the couch, and I just mined my craft away. But the other really cool things, I'm loving all this kind of like recipes and things like that you do. So as an example, you have to like make like an axe, and so you have to kind of melt down iron ore and then put them three across the top and then two sticks down the bottom to make like a pickaxe and stuff like this. I am really, really enjoying it. It takes a while to get into it.
You can start, but you can actually make like a pickaxe made of wood.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, which is entirely useless after like three things.
Yeah, you can. It's wood, then you go to stone, then iron ore, and then you can go to gold. But I found that the gold one, while it does chop things quicker, it breaks much quicker. Mm-hmm. So actually, the iron one seems to be one of the better ones to use.
Like a diamond pickaxe, that's what you need.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get that. I'm just
I think you can, but I've never
made
it yet. Adamantium, yeah. But I'm really enjoying it, very much so. And the cool thing about it is, the reason that I found it is because my daughter, who's 9, was doing a show and tell at school last week, and two of the kids in her class are into Minecraft, and they did a show and tell in it, and Morgan came home from school at night and was like, "Dad, we have to get a hold of Minecraft." I was like, "All right, okay." So I installed it in my machine so that when she got stuck, I had an idea how you were supposed to play it, and so yeah, it's quite cool. So we made a
batted her out the way and just took full control.
No, she's got it in her computer. Right. I've got it in mine, and I've put a Minecraft server in my computer, so the two of us are playing the same game, which is quite cool.
So, do you bump into Morgan every now and again?
Yeah, but I've not really
like
in the last week because she's not been around.
Keeps bothering you in Minecraft now.
Well, no, she's she.
Can I steal some of your? I don't know.
She's in a house. She managed to fight like where she spawned. She appeared in a village, and so there's houses and stuff there. So she's actually got a pre-made house with like couch and everything, a bed.
Oh.
Actually, that's something. If you've not played Minecraft, and maybe this is, if you played Minecraft before, this is fairly simple, but it took me ages to work it out. If you make a bed, like build a bed out of wool, which you make out of string and wood, you respawn next to
you
the bed.
You make wool out of string.
There's some stretches in how things get made. But right. Anyway, so another thing is, for example, you can have an underground farm where you can grow wheat. You just have to put like torches on the wall, and that's all you need, and dirt underground. So there's like big leaps in imagination here.
Fair enough.
But I kept getting really annoyed. If I was underground and I happened across something that killed me, I then respawned randomly on the surface miles away. Because that was like where I started from. And it took me hours of playing this before I realised that if you build a bed and you sleep in the bed once, that then becomes your respawn point. which meant that I could then respawn underground where I was, and I was completely safe. So, yeah, that's a little tip there if you ever start playing it, because it took me ages to work that out.
No, there we go.
So basically, you kind of have to think, well, not that in real life when you die you respawn at your bed, but think of real life things like... build your home comforts and then take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I suppose so. Yeah, because you got to build a little farm, and you can have like pigs and sheep and all sorts of other stuff.
Because if it was real life, when Armageddon comes, you're not going to go, rather than build a shelter, I'm going to make a gold pickaxe.
Yeah, I know. That's a really good point. I did make a gold pickaxe before I bothered to make myself a bed. Yeah, but I'm really, really enjoying it. To the point that, as we've already said, we're recording early because I'm going away this weekend, and my wife has dared me to take Minecraft with me due to the fact I've been playing it constantly. But hey, there you go. Anyway, this podcast and all others on the British Tech Network are sponsored by the awesome folks at UK2. They've been sponsoring the British Tech Network for... I was about to say a number of years now, but I've been saying the same number of years ever since we started doing this podcast, which was almost a year ago now, so presumably it's 1 year more than I used to say, and 1 year less. I don't know. Anyway, they're fantastic, and they've been sponsoring us for ages, and we love them very, very much. They're really good guys. If you head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and then click on UK2. Under the sponsors link, you'll see all the voucher codes and everything like that, if you could use them when you buy services from them. And also, if you could come through our website when you're logging into your account, that would be very much appreciated. That's UK2. They are absolutely fantastic. They support British Tech, and you should support them. So, gentlemen, on to our Bargain Basement Challenge. Sam, what did you have this week?
I had Rise of Nations, which I have played before. You take a really rubbish civilization and raise it up from cavemen to whatever. I really don't like it.
Actually, kind of your tone sounded as if it was actually all right there.
No, I really don't like it.
All right. Right, okay.
Is it just like a rival to like Age of Empires?
Age of Empires is quite good.
Age of Empires is better than this.
It's much the same idea, but done badly.
They're all, it's pretty naff. Kind of like Civilization, but rubbisher.
I really like Civilization.
Yeah, but rubbisher. Mm. I really don't like Civilization.
Oh, there was a thing in the news about the new SimCity game that we never covered that I forgot.
Oh, well, it's done now.
Do you remember the news?
No, not at all. There you
go. That's handy.
Cheers, what did you have?
Should we spend 5 minutes where you search for the web?
For I search for the web.
So how's it?
Oh, I found it. Right. Cheers, what was your bargain basement?
My bargain basement game was John Woo's Stranglehold.
Oh, yeah.
Which, anyway, have you seen Hard Boiled before?
What?
No. Hard Boiled.
No.
A John Woo's film with Chow Yun-fat.
No.
Awesome film. Right. It's basically a sequel to that film with Chow Yun-fat in the game.
Yeah,
playing awesome. Himself, and basically imagine an even more angry and chop sucky, punchy in the face version of Max Payne, where the environment you can blow up, and basically, for example, if there's a sign above someone's head, you shoot the sign, it'll fall on his head, kill him.
Oh, that's quite cool.
He gets all these games.
It's it's quite a good, solid, sort of fun game. You've got bullet time as well. It's a third person shooter. You can jump around, slow down time, but you can. But what's good about this compared to Max Payne is you can actually interact with environment better, so you can dive over tables, and you actually do like a fancy movie, you'll slide down poles on stairs and whatnot, and do a bit of chop socky. So it's quite a good, solid, fun game and quite a brutal storyline and stuff with cops getting horribly killed and whatnot. That's why he's hard boiled and he's out to get them.
Yeah, very cool.
So it was good then.
Yeah, it's not fantastic, but a good, solid game.
Certainly one of the best. Yeah, bargain basement.
I'd point to it is the best bargain basement game.
All right, for £2.50, it's a good bit of play. Cool.
I say if you enjoy your third person shooters and you've not played this and like Max Payne, then for £2.50, definitely worth a pickup.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I had McPixel.
How is McPixel, Paul?
The pirate.
Did you give it justice?
I did. I played it for about it was probably about an hour and 20 minutes in total because. Not because I was enjoying it, but because of the way the game structured, did you play it before you gave it to me?
No.
Right.
I can't do that. You just buy it as a gift
true.
Or something.
That is true. So the concept of the game is, it's all like kind of 8-bit graphics. And it's bloody confusing, frankly, how you actually control it. So you go in the game, and there's this little intro kind of plays, similar to the intro that we played at the end of the show last a couple of weeks ago, which apparently, for those who weren't watching the video as well, was confusing as hell. Anyway, you then basically get thrown into a screen with no instructions or anything like that. Oh, sorry, there is an instruction. It shows a picture of a mouse, and it says left click with a big button that says action, and right click with a big button that says exit, and that's it. And then you get thrown into a thing that has like six icons across the bottom that vaguely sort of resemble things. And then you have... it's not even like anything. That's what I mean, it's confusing.
Okay.
They kind of are like squares with like colors on them, and then you get put in an environment that for example one of them was a lift, and you could see that the lift was falling because there was like through like windows or gaps in it, there was like kind of there was like stairs going up, and there was an old man standing with cane, and there was a guy that looked like kind of a lift attendant in a fancy hotel. And I think there was like a fire extinguisher on the floor. And the music just plays constantly. And then you got 15 seconds. And that's all the information you have. That's it. There's nothing else. And you just have to randomly click on things. And eventually one of them stops the lift. And that's it.
Okay.
There's nothing else to tell you about it.
Is that just one level? Or?
That's one level. So every world has six levels in it.
Yeah.
And they just... repeat, they just loop. So if you get it wrong, so for example, if you click on the old man, McPixel just goes up and kicks the old man in the balls, and they, like everything that you can click on has a reaction, has like something happened to it, and only one of them stops the explosion happening, be it the lift falling or whatever. So there was another one that was like a little ice island, and it had an Eskimo on it and an igloo, and in the water behind it was kind of like a ripple in the water, and you just had to randomly click on things. If you clicked on the igloo, if you clicked on the Eskimo, he flashed you, and that's it. Nothing else happened. Then the island blew up. If you clicked on the igloo, he put his head into the igloo, saw a stick of dynamite, island blew up. If you clicked on the whale behind you, it was a shark actually. The shark comes out the water, goes back in the water, the island blows up, and he just went on like this. So eventually, I found that there was a very small, lighter blue pixel on the island that when you tapped on it, the guy grabbed into the ground, picked up a snowball, and threw the snowball on the stick of dynamite, which put out the dynamite. So it was these kind of like just totally random things. But that's why I ended up playing it for longer, was because I got into a world before the hour ended, and I needed to fix the six things. I mean, it was a reasonably entertaining game. It was a concept I'd never played before. I probably would recommend it if you've got a fiver burn in your hole, but...
I was about to ask you, did you feel like it killed your soul a little? But
It wasn't at awful. I mean,
been Sam if it hasn't.
Of all of the bargain basement games I've played, that was definitely not the worst. I didn't think it was the best either, to be fair, but definitely wasn't the worst. It was quite a cool concept in that it was an indie game, wasn't it? It wasn't like a big publisher. And it was nothing like I'd ever played before.
I think it was done by that crazy-looking ginger guy.
Right, okay.
In the video, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
What I'm quite enjoying, it hasn't destroyed your soul, but you certainly seem damaged having played this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of quite glad about that.
It was... The biggest thing I can say about it, I really enjoyed the fact that it wasn't just the same old... first person shooter trying, you know, somebody else producing a game, albeit independent, that's trying to be Angry Birds or Call of Duty or Tetris. You know, it was something totally new. It was bizarre and odd, but it was, I thought it was interesting. I would definitely have a look at it, certainly. Anyway,
I kind of picked it because it was an independent.
That's a cool idea. So. This week's bargain basement for you guys. Have you got me another Steam game? Due to the fact that you're gripping for the...
I like how you go up and took the microphone with you, but never really used it.
Chase found you something, actually.
Yeah.
What have I got here? What will I give you this week?
I don't think you should be able to look. I think it should just be a rummage and pull it out. This isn't making for good radio.
Right, Sam. Yeah. Sam, I have got Raven Squad for you.
That looks awesome.
Chiz.
That looks like the sort of game...
Hidden Dagger.
A sort of game through video game ways makes you experience what a stroke's like.
This has no reviews in it, but yours really is weird. Condemned.
Looks like...
Ah, I vaguely played that as well.
An FPS... And a strategy.
Condemned's supposed
FPS
to be not too
and
bad.
RTS.
I'm quite happy with that. What?
FPS and RTS in the same game.
Yeah, wow. It's not unheard of.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I've maybe you plan that. It out and then take over. Or you jump soldier to soldier, maybe.
Looks quite interesting.
Anyway, what do you got for me?
You, which I've put a link in the show notes, I think, at the very bottom, unless you've deleted it.
I wanted to see what Chase has.
Tennis in the face.
Oh, yes, not. Tennis in the face! I wouldn't bother playing the video, it's in there.
And that but strikes me
basically,
pretty
you play,
similar to the way that you guys were playing table tennis.
Basically, you play Pete Pagasy, who is out to stop all these suits and company people from selling a crappy energy drink called Explodes. So he goes around the city smashing tennis balls into their faces.
Sweet.
What caught me was just the title. It's just like anything that's got in the face is just intimidating. Jaffa cake in the face. Would you like a cup of tea in the face?
Well, tea's quite hot, but Jaffa cakes, you're going to put it in your face anyway. So
yeah. Oh, the jam stings.
It's citrus jam.
Oh, it's orangey.
Sam, what did you have again? Rise of Nations.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do the show notes and type everything up as we're doing the podcast?
Plus, cool. No one cares.
Okay. So that's basically the show. Well done for making it this far.
Are we sure that's a show?
I think so.
Have we missed anything?
I don't think so. Have we?
Just check them.
You kind of sounded like some.
No, I think he's just doing that.
Okay. If you have any comments or anything like that for the show, please do email us, BritishTechNews@gmail.com.
Go and do it, because it actually makes it more interesting. Frankly, we're struggling here. You know?
So far, it's been nothing but like boot licking praise. I want some anger. I want some, like, oh, God, Sam's voice really annoys me.
Yep.
Chiz makes me want to bollock myself off.
And I'm fed up of having sex with bollocks. Bollock myself.
I was going for de-bollock. have a bollectomy.
If you want to, if you enjoy this nonsense, please rate us on iTunes. You can also follow me.
Committed.
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm @PaulWheatley. You can follow Sam on Twitter. He is
Dr. Nasty Flaps. But it is the most pointless Twitter account in the universe.
I'm fairly sure one of the Kardashians is one that's more pointless.
No, they probably say more. A lot more.
I'm sure one of them's fallen, Sam.
I would be surprised.
She's always behind me. It's really creepy.
You can follow the network @BritishTech on Twitter. The European podcast was finished.
Wilson.
So I wasn't going to have to do that.
That was Wilson.
disguise.
And the tickets aren't available for the bash yet, but just to remind you to keep the 6th of July free. Oh, jeez!
Again, to be fair, we're going to be there, so it's not worth going.
Just pulled a little cord in my chair, and I've got my legs trapped underneath my chair. Anyway, on that, we will see you in a couple of weeks. Good night.
That actually looks quite painful.
I didn't even actually catch it. I just went to drop you down.